By the early 20th century, the U.S. had already implemented and removed a few central banking systems, which were swindled into place by ruthless banking interests. At this time, the dominant families in the banking and business world were the Rockefellers, the Morgans, the Warburgs, the Rothschilds. And in the early 1900s, they sought to push, once again, legislation to create another central bank. However, they knew the government and public were very weary of such an institution, so they needed to create an incident to affect public opinion. So, J.P. Morgan, publicly considered a financial luminary at the time, exploited his mass influence by publishing rumors that a prominent bank in New York was insolvent or bankrupt. Morgan knew this would cause mass hysteria, which would affect other banks as well. And it did. The public, in fear of losing their deposits, immediately began mass withdrawals. Consequently, the banks were forced to call in their loans, causing the recipients to sell their property, and thus a spiral of bankruptcies, repossessions, and turmoil emerged. Putting the pieces together a few years later, Frederick Allen of Life magazine wrote, "The Morgan interests took advantage to precipitate the panic, guiding it shrewdly as it progressed." The fact is, the international bankers now had a streamlined machine to expand their personal ambitions.
It's alive, it's alive, it's alive.
For example, from 1914 to 1919, the Fed increased the money supply by nearly 100%, resulting in extensive loans to small banks and the public. Then, in 1920, the Fed called in mass percentages of the outstanding money supply, thus resulting in the supporting banks having to call in huge numbers of loans, and, just like 1907, bank runs, bankruptcy, and collapse occurred. Over 5,400 competitive banks outside of the Federal Reserve System collapsed, further consolidating the monopoly of a small group of international bankers. Privy to this crime, Congressman Lindbergh stepped up and said in 1921, "Under the Federal Reserve Act, panics are scientifically created. The present panic is the first scientifically created one, worked out as we figure a mathematical equation." However, the panic of 1920 was just a warm-up. From 1921 to 1929, the Fed again increased the money supply, resulting once again in extensive loans to the public and banks. There was also a fairly new type of loan called a margin loan in the stock market. Very simply, the margin loan allowed an investor to put down only 10% of a stock's price, with the other 90% being loaned through the broker. In other words, a person could own $1,000 worth of stock with only $100 down. This method was very popular in the roaring 1920s, as everyone seemed to be making money in the market. However, there was a catch to this loan. It could be called in at any time and had to be paid within 24 hours. This is termed a margin call, and the typical result of a margin call is the selling of the stock purchased with the loan. So, a few months before October in 1929, J.D. Rockefeller, Bernard Baruch, and other insiders quietly exited the market, and on October 24, 1929, the New York financiers who furnished the margin loans started calling them in mass. This sparked an instantaneous, massive sell-off in the market, for everyone had to cover the margin loans. It then triggered mass bank runs for the same reason, in turn collapsing over 16,000 banks, enabling the conspiring international bankers to not only buy up rival banks at a discount, but to also buy up whole corporations at pennies on the dollar. It was the greatest robbery in American history. But that didn't stop there. Rather than expanding the money supply in order to recover from this economic collapse, the Fed actually contracted it, fueling one of the largest depressions in history. So what is a central bank? A central bank is an institution that produces the currency of an entire nation. Based on historical precedent, two specific powers are inherent in central banking practice: the control of interest rates and the control of the money supply, or inflation. The central bank does not simply supply a government's economy with money, it loans it to them at interest. Then, through the use of increasing and decreasing the supply of money, the central bank regulates the value of the currency being issued. Now, having reduced the society to squalor, the Federal Reserve bankers decided that the gold standard should be removed. In order to do this, they needed to acquire the remaining gold in the system.
Second, Jews were at the origin of a lot of catastrophic financial bank crashes in Germany between 1870 and 1920. In that time, they made a lot of crashes which have, this is all documented, it's not Nazi propaganda or anti-Semitic or Arab propaganda, it's a lot of books have been published, even by Jewish Germans, about this problem. They have, millions of German fathers have lost their incomes, their fortune, their savings, because of these Jewish gangsters, bank gangsters and speculation people. Introduced into German art and culture and theater and movie, decadence, immorality. The first homosexual theaters plays were made in Berlin in the 1920s. The first adultery theater plays were made in the 1880s and 1890s, 100 years ago, by Jewish authors. Adultery, then sexual perversions of all sorts, sadism, masochism, lot of homosexuality, all these things, and then decadent art, you know, an art which is absolutely ridiculous, so-called modern art. It was all pushed by Jewish intellectuals, and this created among the German people a big revolt. And they wrote books ridiculing Christianity, ridiculing Jesus. I mean, it was something like Salman Rushdie with the Muslims. And there were furious reactions in Germany. And the Nazis, of course, benefited from it. And this is why Adolf Hitler came to power. Now, what did the Jews do? When you ask what have the Germans done to the Jews, you must always ask what have done the Jews to the Germans. Since 1850, when the Jews became, got all the political rights in Germany, in the German Reich, they have done three things which are really dramatic. Number one, they were a small minority of 2% of the population. At the time when Hitler came to power, 500,000 within 60 million German people. 500,000 among 60 million. They were a small minority. This small minority managed to control about 50% of the media, to give about 70% of all judges, to have a tremendous influence in movie and in theater and in literature. They were overrepresented. This is one thing. They were absolutely overrepresented, as today in England, in France, and in the United States. And you see, then Hitler in 2 years, from 33 to 35, he got 6 million Germans were unemployed. And within 2 years, he brought 6 million unemployed Germans back into their jobs. He created 6 million jobs. It's incredible. In 2 years, and this is the reason why this 6 million thing came. You see, after the Second World War, the Zionists said, we must give a counter propaganda to these positive 6 millions who have found 6 million jobs positive. We must make something negative, 6 million corpses. And so came this fantastic number of 6 million, which is in every newspaper, in everything.